Met Michiel.
5 essential tracks. Skunker Nancy. TFM.
Weak as I am. No tears for you. Weak as I am. No tears for you. Deep as I am. I'm no one's fool. Weak as I am.
Joining me for another round of 5 Essential Tracks are Skin and Ace from Skunk and NC.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I know this might be one of the hardest questions ever when you ask someone who loves music. Could you please narrow your music love down to 5 Essential Tracks? Was this a hard one?
Actually, it's very difficult because, you know, as a band, we're from culturally five very different parts of England, and therefore culturally five very different people. And so to find 5 tracks that everybody could agree on was quite difficult. But then in the end, it was quite easy because I did it when they weren't there. No, I'm joking.
So you know what you're
I'm playing,
yes,
I'm playing.
Yeah. Well, we've been together 22 years traveling around the world, so we have experienced everybody's music, so we all like the same stuff.
This is band bus soundtrack stuff?
You know, it's kind of like sometimes when you're in before you want to get on stage and whatever, kind of hype yourself up and get into it, the tracks you played, and sometimes it's just, you know, when we're writing songs, you know, let's just go back to some, listen to lots of new stuff, and then we'll go back to some early stuff, just for fun, for inspiration.
Let's dive right into them. Track number one, which would be that?
Track number one, I think, let's go for Rage Against the Machine, because that was when we were a band kind of getting together mid-90s, Rage Against the Machine were already a massive, massive band. And I remember the first time I heard a Rage Against the Machine track, and Ace played it to me, actually.
Yeah, it was in a club. I was DJing in a club, and I had the white label vinyl. No one had heard of them at that point.
Wow.
And I saw Skin, and I said, Skin, listen to this. And we played it, and it looked on the cover, and it said, no other instruments apart from guitar is on this record, and we were like, wow, this is a crazy record. Then instantly they went huge.
Yeah. What was it?
It was Killing of the Name Mod.
Killing of the Name Mod. I think we've chosen Bullet in the Head though, something a bit later.
If you have to choose right now, right here.
Killing in the Name Of, in terms of a Skunk and Nancy influence, Killing in the Name Of.
A record that everybody has in their record collection, really, including all of us, is Radiohead. So Karma Police, amazing record, an amazing band. Radiohead are one of those bands that, like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, there's only ever been one, and everyone else kind of follows them. They're a bit like Radiohead, they're influenced by Radiohead, but there's only one Radiohead. And I think Karma Police, this whole album, OK Computer, was a real really important time in music. It changed the landscape a lot, and I think that the whole of the band love Radiohead in all different forms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Radiohead comes in a lot of different forms.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think they're kind of like us in the way that we try not to make the same record twice, you know, and I think that, you know, they push themselves and experiment, you know, to varying degrees of success, to varying degrees of likability by the audience. But I think that's not the point, is it? The point is, as a creative person, you're going to do what you want to do and expand your own horizons. And I think they do that fantastically.
Central Tracks for Skunk and Nancy, we've arrived at track number three.
Track number three, I think we're going to go for, let's go for Bette Davis, actually. Actually, I never heard of Bette Davis until I met Cass, because I was in a band with Cass, our bass player from Skunk and Nancy. And I was in a rehearsals one day, and he goes, "Oh my God, you sound just like Bette Davis." And I was like, "What is he talking about? The movie star, you know?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "No," he's like, no, "you've never heard of Bette Davis." And he goes, "Okay." And he put this track on. It's called "He Was a Big Freak." And it's Bette Davis that was married to Miles Davis. And before that, she was with Sly Stone. And she made like three incredible albums. Like, they had Larry Graham playing bass, the best instrument artist at the time, playing on her record. First three records are great. Last three records, maybe not so. But this, when I heard this, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm really glad I hadn't heard this before, because I'd sound exactly like her."
you might have been afraid to.
Yeah, I would have.
Too big a comparison.
Yeah, if I'd have heard of Bette Davis and when I was like, you know, defining my own voice, I probably would have copied her, because it was exactly how I wanted to sound. But obviously, I'd already was doing my thing by then. But yeah, massive influence on me. Massive influence on Lenny Kravitz, we think, too.
Yeah.
You know, some of those grooves on that album. We love you, Lenny. But yeah, this is an incredible record, incredible song. She's really freaky. She was absolutely stunning and really freaky. And there's a lot of drugs and crazy shit going on in those days. And I think she was this female in the middle of it that was just tearing shit up.
He was a big freak! This woman, I please him, I need him to the tail. When I was his mistress, ooh, I gave him cheap thrills. When I was his princess, silk and satin and lace I'd wear for him. He was a big freak, flim flam bluesy fantasy.
Like I said, it can be hard to narrow yourself down to five tracks, so we're getting to the end now, track number four. How many darlings have you killed for this list?
Oh my God, loads. We had a list of 10, and then we had, okay, fine, take that off. But I think we're gonna go for one. We'll do our own track last. Let's go for, actually, one of my biggest influences, again, and another favorite for the whole band, is Blondie. Mm-hmm. I was 10 years old. I was watching Top of the Pops, which is this massive TV show in England. And I, you know, when you're like a kid, you watch television like that, you know, like, you know,
get away from the screen, you ruin your eyes.
Exactly. So I was watching TV like that, and I just remember this girl came on in a black and white stripy dress. And I remember that was the moment when I thought, I want to be a singer. She came on and she sang, I don't know what the song was, I can't even remember.
Denis.
And I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. I want to be a singer. And then I kept it to myself for about 10 years that I wanted to be a singer. Because I was from like a West Indian family, you know, there was like, everyone could sing in my family. And being a singer was not seen as a credible way to be, you know, teacher, doctor, lawyer, all those things, but not a singer. So I just kind of kept it to myself until I got to university.
And when you say you kept it to yourself, did you do it in a way that not going to happen, or I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to tell anyone?
Yeah, exactly. I did it and I thought, I'm not going to tell anyone. And I started writing songs. That's when I started writing songs. I'd write songs and I'd fold them up and put them under my pillow. And so by the time I was 13, I think I'd written about 20 songs. And then somebody bought me a Filofax at 13. Is that long ago? Yeah. And I folded them all up in my Filofax, which I'm sure is around somewhere. But
somewhere in
the
museum.
Museum. They weren't that good. I'll tell you right now, they were not that good. But that was that. It was Blondie that inspired me, and I love this song, Union City Blue. I love the melody, love the groove, and I love the way she sings it. Union City Blue.
It's a great tune, isn't
Union,
it?
Union. Well, I'm a girl. Anyway.
Yeah, brilliant. I actually met her, actually, a few years
me
ago.
Me too.
I wanted to ask if you ever met Deborah.
Yeah, she was lovely. She was really cool. I was really scared of saying hi to her because sometimes you can meet an American star and you can go up and say hello to them, they can be actually quite rude to you and kind of crush you. And these big stars. I was in an airport and she was literally on her own checking in, and I was the next check-in, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, no one there, and I plucked up the courage and I went up to her and I said, oh hi, I'm from Skunk and Nancy, I'm really big fan. And she said, oh yeah, I saw you play last night. And she was super nice. And it was like,
it can be so stressful meeting your heroes.
No, it can be really stressful. I met her too, and she was, again, lovely. And she knew exactly who I was, which, you know, was nice.
Yes,
a nice bonus. And she was lovely. She's great.
Track number 5 in the 5 most essential tracks, and like I said, this could be one of your own tracks if it were to be like, all right, if there's one song that represents us as a band the most, and you have a large, rich body of songs.
Do you know, the thing about this song is that I mean, I think as a band, why do you get into a band? You know, yeah, if you're boys because you want to shag girls and drink lots of beer, but there's also a part of you that's like, you want to be led, you want to be one of the bands that made you want to be in a band, you know?
Yeah,
want to have like a legendary song, and I think that every band should have a few songs that are have influenced music or influenced stuff or songs that they're really proud of. And you know, like, you two got a whole album of it, you know. David Bowie's got a whole album of them, you know. So if, as a band, if you can get like a couple, two or three of those songs, and that people can go, yeah, that was a world-class song. And I think that that's what happened with Hedonism. And I think the band favorite is Charlie Big Potato. Because it's just one of those songs that, you know, yeah, that song slammed it. That was very different. It's very original. It really sums up the sound of Skunk Anansie. It still sounds fresh to this day. You know, it starts with drum and bass. That still sounds good. Either drum and bass has just got stale and never moved on.
No, it still works.
It still works.
Yeah,
you know?
I still hear new drum and bass songs every now and then, and they still sound like, yeah.
It still sounds fresh. It's just one of those things.
There are a lot of different musical styles. If they were to come back in a new single, you think, this is vintage, or this is old rock and roll
or something like that.
Yeah, but with drum and bass, it's fresh.
Yeah, and so it was probably one of our first electronic kind of rock tracks that we did. You know,
also with the violins.
The string, we recorded that in New York with a 56-piece orchestra. And those are the days when bands had money. But I always remember this because it's just the song that I remember how we wrote it. It was Ace, wasn't it?
We were exiled for a little time. We had a little problem with our record companies and things like that. Oh. So we disappeared and we went off to Portugal in a house. And we lived
in France.
We wrote it in Portugal. We recorded it in Poitiers.
A bit like the Rolling Stones back in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. So we disappeared and we went to this little house in the mountain in Portugal, and we were writing loads of music, right? And then we ran out of ideas. And Skin said, right, okay, we've all got to go off for an hour and we've got to come back with one piece each, right, to inspire a new song. So we went off and I went for a swim. I came back, and when we came in, he said, right, everyone play your bit, and I played that bit, that riff, and everyone goes, right, let's write a song, and that's how it started.
I remember something different about this. I remember where you got that idea from. You were walking, because I remember this precisely, you were in a hotel reception walking past, and the fax machine went da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I made that story up.
I've been telling that story for 20 fucking years. And you made that up.
We were in Italy, right, in a hotel in Taormina, right?
I never believe anything you say ever again.
Yeah. And we were in this hotel and I went in, right, and I had the same thing. I had like room, bed and breakfast for like 2 weeks. Yeah. And so when it printed out, it went cha 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 cha, the same thing. It's like a rhythm like this.
Yeah.
And then the next day we were doing an interview. Yeah, we were doing an interview and we'd done so many interviews at that time. I was so bored of this repeating the story about this song. They said, how did the song come up? And I said, I was in the hotel and I heard this machine going off from my bill and I made the story up.
My God, I'm on the floor. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. You are such a friggin' liar.
It came from the swimming pool in Portugal. That's where it came from.
You're one hell of a storyteller.
You know what? I'm going to be checking everything you ever say from now on. I'm going to double check it. Because I've been I thought I had the coolest guitarist in the country because he thought of that from a fax machine. No, you're not cool anymore now. You're full of shit. You can't take it back.
Well, on that note, on that bombshell,
this was 5% Trek starring Skunk Anansie, the band who might not want to appear on stage after this.
We just broke up.
Well, we got
you recorded
tape.
The moment Skunk Anansie broke up.
I don't know whether to be very proud or very sad right now.
I'm very sad.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Great stories, great songs.
Thank you.